we will be talking with Marlene Nell. So Marlene is the author of the book that you read this week, and she is also an associate professor at Baylor University. She researches internal communications, public relations management, and ethics. And at Baylor, she teaches classes in public relations and advertising. And she advises the PRSSA chapter. So she has broad experience in public relations and advertising, and she has written an excellent book, as you well know, from your readings this week. And I'm thrilled to have her with us today to talk a little bit about the book and about her own experiences and some of her thoughts about ethics right now in the communication workspace. So welcome, Marlene. So glad to have you here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. So this week, the students read your book, Public Relations Ethics, Senior PR Pros, Tell Us How to Speak Up and Keep Your Job. In it, you offer some excellent advice for professionals. So I have a question for you. What would you say are the most important pieces of advice that you would offer to today's strategic communication professional?
Well, I would start off by saying that one of the pieces of advice that the professionals talked about time and time again was the importance of researching a workplace before you accept a job there to make sure that you're not entering a very difficult situation, a type of organization that doesn't really adhere to their ethics and values. And so I think that's always a good piece of advice, to talk to people who work in that organization to make sure that they're happy and make sure that there's not a high turnover rate in that specific organization. So I think that's the first step that they should take prior to accepting a job. The other piece of advice that comes up time and time and again is the importance of finding mentors, someone that you could go to for advice if you do come across an ethical dilemma, that you can talk through your potential decision and discuss your potential options that you have when facing that particular issue. And so I think that's really important to not only find those mentors, but maintain those relationships so that you're comfortable reaching out to that colleague, that senior professional, whenever an issue does arise. And then two, when it comes to actually asking, when it comes to actually offering ethics counsel, one of the techniques that was discussed over and over again is the importance of engaging in dialogue. You don't want to approach senior official and tell them that they're wrong and that they're being unethical. But there was an approach that a lot of professionals like using, which is engaging in dialogue, where you ask questions to try to get a sense of where the other person's coming from and help you better understand the situation so that then you can figure out how to counsel them in a more effective way. And so I think that that is an important lesson, is the idea of listening to your senior professionals in your organization and understanding where they're coming from. And that can help you figure out how to then counter and respond to them in an appropriate manner. And so those were the three pieces of advice that I feel like are so critical.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That was very interesting and useful. So in the interviews that you conducted, what were some of the common ethical challenges that professionals face that prompt them to raise ethical issues? What were some of the challenges?
Well, I think what was interesting as I look at this study and one that I'm working on now is that the issues do go beyond just communication, but definitely many of the issues do tie back to typical communication issues, things like disclosure of information, how much information did you disclose, and the timing of that information, as far as how quickly you share that information. Particularly if you think about layoffs with employees, how soon do you let employees know that layoffs are coming? So there's a lot of issues around disclosure of information, that timing, and how much information to disclose. Also, one of the other common issues that came up was inaccurate or incomplete information, so not having all the facts or feeling like the information that you have is incomplete, which also impacts your ability to provide counsel. Some of the other issues that came up were misuse of private and public funds, and then just some general management issues. As I look at the study that I'm working on now related to women in leadership and public relations, some of the issues that have come up around ethics, a lot of them involve crises and that whole aspect of companies and organizations not wanting to be as transparent, being very protective in times of crises, particularly as they're worried about potential lawsuits or other implications from regulations and lawsuits, those kind of issues that accompany crises. Also, there were a lot of issues around media relations, again, that issue of transparency. A lot of public relations counsel involves letting senior leaders know what are the concerns of various stakeholders. So that continues to be a part of public relations role in ethics counseling. And then two, in the most recent study, diversity and inclusion issues came up as far as one of the areas where they were offering ethics counseling. So that just gives you a range of some of the different types of issues. There were a lot of different scenarios that people may have faced, but a lot of them do typically come down to things around transparency, disclosure of information, and then raising the concerns of stakeholders. So those are the categories where I would prioritize most of the issues that they're facing.
Mm-hmm. So are there new challenges that today's professionals face that make the process of raising these issues more challenging, like in today's world than maybe 10 years ago or more?
I think we do continue to have some of the same issues, but some I would add to the list. I think public relations continues to have more of a role in employee communications, employee relations. And so I see that as an area where we are starting to see more public relations involvement. And then two, there's a lot more emphasis today on corporate social responsibility and corporate social advocacy. And I think especially with corporate social advocacy, it's challenging to decide when to weigh in and when not to weigh in on some of the issues that are being raised in the news today. And then I think a continual battle that we have in public relations, especially as you're looking at the senior levels, is when clients or the boss won't listen to your advice. And while that doesn't happen all the time, there are situations where that does happen. And even in my most recent study, I had three people that ended up losing their jobs after raising ethical concerns. And so that shows you that there are still some issues with the workplace itself. And that goes back to that very first piece of advice that I talked about, being careful about where you choose to work to begin with. And so I'm sad to see that there are still examples of times when people either have to resign or are fired after raising ethical concerns.
So would you say that was unusual, losing your job after raising ethical concerns? I mean, did you hear from a lot of people who did it and it was a positive experience?
Well, most of the time, the clients and their bosses are listening. And so these are rare situations. Just the fact that they still are occurring, I think, can be very discouraging for those of us that are focused on trying to teach people how to raise ethical concerns. But in the majority of the cases, as they mentioned, in the agency side, clients are hiring you for advice. So hopefully they will be willing to listen. There were a few times in my most recent study where they did resign accounts if the clients were not taking their advice, because they found that is a very difficult situation for the agency to be in when the client is not heeding the advice that they're providing to them. So there are times where people are resigning or they're resigning accounts if people are not willing to do what they feel is the right thing to do. But in the majority of cases, yes. And that's why the book itself focuses on what approaches to use to be most effective when providing that counsel. And part of it comes down to just knowing your senior executives and what approach works best for them, how they like to receive information. Do they like to get that information in a report, you know, a written copy? Is that something that they feel better about hearing research or case studies to help back up your recommendations? And so a lot of it comes down to just really developing those relationships with the senior executives that you're counseling and getting a sense of how they best prefer to receive information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And do you think that the social media, digital communication, the push toward that more in public relations, strategic communication, is also creating issues with raising ethical issues? What comes to mind is maybe the speed at which decisions have to be made, and that could slow things down a bit and could prevent people from raising issues that they feel like need to be raised.
I think the challenge with social media and the immediacy is the fact that it's very difficult to take the time that you need to verify information before sharing it with the public. Of course, we know, according to the PRSA Code of Ethics, if you make a mistake, you're supposed to correct it. But just the busyness of the 24/7 communication, it makes it very difficult to reflect and think through the decisions that you're making. And two, the time pressures don't really give you the time to really do the research that you would like to before sharing information with the public and making decisions. And so I think that immediacy issue and that pressure of that 24/7 time schedule can be really challenging for professionals today.
And what would you recommend then if someone is in that situation where maybe a decision has been made to move forward with information, it hasn't been verified, and you want to raise the issue? What do you suggest? What would you suggest?
Well, if they really do feel like they need to conduct additional research, they need to be able to provide that justification for why they need more time. Mm-hmm. And that came up with one of the interviews recently where they were under those time pressures. And you do have to offer that justification for why do we need more time. And then still, I think there's still going to be that expectation that you still have to make a decision pretty quickly. But if they can ask for a reasonable time amount to wait, they may be able to buy a little bit more time to be able to do some additional research before making that decision or putting out that information.
Yeah, that's great. Good. So any last advice for new professionals who are starting to think more about their ethical responsibilities in the workplace?
Well, I think a few pieces of advice I would offer, first of all, is that, again, that seeking out mentors and maintaining those relationships so that you have someone that you can go to if you do have questions about an issue or need to talk something through. And then two, taking advantage of ethics training opportunities that are available. There's a lot of things that happen during the month of September with Ethics Month, but also looking for other resources and training that's available throughout the year, whether it's reading blog posts, attending webinars, whatever resources that they have access to. And just like we do drills for crisis communication, it's a good idea to walk through a scenario occasionally and just think through using one of those ethical decision models, the different steps of that decision making and walking through that process to feel comfortable with it. And I think it's we do that with crises all the time, but it's a smart thing to do that for ethics too, to have a decision model that you're comfortable with and that you go through those steps occasionally just to refresh your memory on those steps to be comfortable with thinking through those ethical decisions.
So mentors, reaching out for mentors, finding people that you can trust, that you can ask when you're in a situation, you're not certain, you feel like you need to raise a concern, but you're not sure exactly how to do it. That sounds like one of your recommendations. And then training.
Just yes.
Keep reading about it, even beyond a class. The thing about the class is, you know, it's 16 weeks long, but somehow we can't cover everything for sure in this period of time. So looking for other resources, other ways of exposing yourself to concepts and exposing yourself to scenarios that you might face in the workplace. So yeah, that's great. Ongoing training. I like that you said PRSA's Ethics Month. Mm-hmm. Which is September. A lot of things go on during the month, but really PRSA has had such a push toward ethics, like you said, all year round. There's great material and resources. That's also true in other fields, advertising and general communication, journalism and other areas too. A lot of focus these days on ethics and a lot of ethics resources. So that's great. Well, good. Well, it's helpful for sure. It's good to hear you talk a little bit about the book now that the students have had a chance to read it. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, to share a little bit of background about the book and what you learned as you were researching it. So I appreciate your time very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, and we'll go ahead and wrap up here.